The 7704A is part of an oscilloscope measurement system. The bottom half that includes the plug-in compartments, the display switching logic, vertical and horizontal interface, trigger selection, and power supply is called the acquisition unit. The top, which houses the CRT, the vertical and horizontal amplifiers, and the readout is called the display unit. Now, these two sections can be separated to accommodate a processing unit. When connected to a computer and accompanied by appropriate software, can perform analog-to-digital conversions, perform mathematical operations on variables derived from the scope waveforms. The results can be displayed on the CRT as waveforms or alphanumeric readout. In addition to the conventional vertical and horizontal plugins, the scope accepts digital counters, digital multimeters using the CRT for readout, and sampling, TDR, and spectrum analyzer plugins can also be used. We'll use the 7704A service manual as reference. You'll need a scratch tablet and pencil. The discussion will not include knob readout or display switching logic. For that information, I refer you to the tape entitled 7000 Series Knob Readout and 7000 Series Display Switching. We'll assume a knowledge of basic tech scope circuits, such as those covered in the tech series of concept books. Now, you'll need to stop the tape from time to time to think about some point, and perhaps rewind for a second try at a more difficult concept. Don't listen too long at one setting. Get up and walk around occasionally. Get a cup of coffee. Well, good luck. Well, we begin the discussion with pull-out schematic 1. That's the front panel and calibrator. Now, you may find that some sections of this discussion don't appear to be in a logical sequence. We're just trying to fit them all on 90-minute cassettes. Now, please turn to pull-out schematic 1. Pull-out schematic 1 has the calibrator and the front panel switches. Switches include the vertical mode switches, the horizontal mode switches, and the A and B trigger switches. Notice that in most cases, pushing the button connects 5 volts. We will refer to that from time to time as logic high. Canceling the button ties the control line to ground. That's logic low. I notice that some of the buttons have no switch, such as the left trigger button. Just push the button and it cancels the other buttons. There are 3 controls on the diagram. There's the vertical trace separation, used in the display switching modes to move the B trace, that is, separated from the A trace. Then there are separate A and B intensity controls. There's a master intensity control on the CRT diagram. Well, let's look at the calibrator there at the top of the page. It's a 1 kilohertz square wave with 0.25% frequency accuracy and 1% amplitude accuracy. Now, the instrument is shipped with 40 millivolt, 400 millivolt, and 4 volt jacks on the front panel. Now, the pins on the connector can be removed and 40 volt substituted for the 4 volt and 4 millivolt for the 40 millivolt output. Now, that means that the front panel reads wrong, however. You don't want to touch the 4 volt jack, as it'll be used for the current loop. Now, the current loop can be obtained as an option, and it's plugged into the 4 volt and the ground jack. Well, the heart of the calibrator is the Bose oscillator. It's named after the gentleman that designed it for radar use. Its main claim to fame is that it doesn't take up much space, it's inexpensive, and it's very accurate, if designed right. Now, the frequency determining elements are C1001, R1002, and R1001, and they have opposite temperature coefficients, and I mentioned earlier the 0.25% frequency accuracy. I won't go into the operation of that oscillator. We've covered that several times before. It's a 2 kilohertz oscillator in this case. The IC, U1010, is a 2-to-1 countdown device, which provides the 1 kilohertz output for the calibrator. Now, the collector of Q1003 swings about 5 volts or so. The negative excursion wasn't low enough to drive into the clock pulse input of the IC at pin 12, so Q1011 was inserted in the circuit. The flip-flop switches with a negative excursion at pin 12. We're using a push-pull drive out of pins 6 and 8 of the flip-flop into a switch composed of Q1021 and Q1023. Now, those bases will swing around ground so that we have about a mil flowing through the common emitter resistor, R1023, and it'll switch from one side to the other. Let's take the condition in which it switched through Q1021. That 1 mil then flows through the parallel combination of R1021 and R1026 off to the right there. Well, the parallel combination of those two resistors is about 1K, and 1 mil through 1K means that we have a 1 volt swing in at the base of Q1025. Now, that'll swing both sides of the level set at the base of Q1027 by emitter follower Q1031, which in turn is set by the 0.4 volt calibrator adjustment. By tying R1026 over to the emitter of Q1031, then the base of Q1025 will swing both sides of whatever level was set by the emitter follower. Now, the 0.4 volt cal adjust sets the base of Q1031 at 42 volts. It's down a junction to the emitter. Then over at Q1027, it's up a junction to the emitter of that transistor. So we have 42 volts at the common emitters of those two transistors. So we have 8 volts across R1027, or 8.9 mils of emitter current that we'll switch. All right, when Q1021 to the left there is on and its collector is down, it'll turn on Q1025, and all of that 8.9 mils will flow through that transistor. Q1027 would be off, of course, its collector down at ground, and that's a negative excursion of the calibrator waveform. Now, when Q1021 is off and its collector up, it'll turn off Q1025, which will turn on Q1027. The 8.9 mils then flows through that collector load, consisting of all the attenuator resistors down below. Now, the collector of Q1027 will set at 40 volts. Notice the line off to the right there that says 40 volt optional. Well, let's see. We have R1043 in series with about 450 ohms. Well, that's about 4.55K. And 8.9 mils through 4.5K is 40 volts. Now, the divider, R1043, and all of the other resistors sets the 4-volt level, and all of the other outputs appear off appropriate dividers. Now, when the optional current probe is connected between the 4-volt jack and ground, it has a 50-ohm resistor in series with it. Now, that 8.9 mils, therefore, is split. 8 mils flowing through the current probe, and the 0.9 mils flowing through the other attenuator resistors there. Now, the current probe has 5 turns. Now, the 5 turns times the 8 mils makes the current probe see 40 mils of calibrator current. Well, let's turn next to the vertical interface schematic. That's pull out schematic 5. Now, here we accept the outputs from the two vertical preamplifier plugins, and on command from the logic circuit, select either left vertical right vertical, or both to drive the vertical amplifier and the CRT. Then, in addition, trace separation information is provided where appropriate. For switches, we use two of the TechMade ICs, the MO36. Well, let's look at the inputs first. In the lower left-hand corner is the differential signal from the left vertical plug-in by way of the interface, of course. It has a signal value of 25 millivolts per division per side. Notice the lines are terminated in 50 ohms, so the signal current is 0.5 milliamps per division. Just below then is the output from the right vertical preamplifier with the same signal value, of course. Then up above, where it says auxiliary Y-axis input, that's trace separation from a dual time-base plug-in, such as the 7B92. Just below is the vertical trace separation, which comes from a control found on the interface schematic, pull-out schematic 1. Now the output, clear to the right, is again a push-pull vertical signal with the same signal value, 25 millivolts per division per side. Now that drives directly into the delay line, so the reverse termination for the delay line is found on this schematic. Now the lines which control the switching go into pins 4, 14, and 6. And let's take the lower IC first, where the left and right vertical signals go in. Now let's take the line into pin 4 first. That's the channel switch signal. Now, if we are to display the left vertical, then pin 4 is low. If we are to select right vertical, then pin 4 is high. Now, if we've selected the alternate mode, pin 4 will alternate between high and low with each sweep. Then in the chopped mode, it will switch back and forth at the chopping rate. Now, in the added mode, the logic circuit will place pin 4 low and pin 14 high, which adds the left and right vertical information. Now, pin 6 is high during the time that we write a character in the readout mode, and that turns off everything. We have no output from this IC when pin 6 is high. Well, let's look at the top IC. In it, pin 2 is the auxiliary Y-axis information. As I said earlier, that's trace separation from a dual time-base plug-in. And we want that to be available at all times. So you'll notice down below that pin 4 is just tied to ground. So we have a permanent low in it, pin 4. Well, if you'll refer now to the lower IC, you'll see that when pin 4 is low, we said that the left channel would be displayed. Well, pin 2 was one of the left channel inputs. So with pin 4 tied low at the top IC, then pin 2 will be available at all times. Now pin 7 is available when pin 4 is high. But if we use that logic, then that would disconnect pin 2, and we don't want that. So remember, in the added mode, when pin 4 was low and pin 14 was high, we added both left and right. So we have pin 2, the auxiliary Y-axis trace separation, and pin 7, the vertical trace separation, both available when pin 14 is high. Now, that'll be controlled by the horizontal mode switch and by the display B command signal from the logic circuit. So we want the input there at pin 2 to be available at all times whenever we have a dual time-base plug-in installed. But we want pin 7 to be available only when channel B is being displayed, and then only when we're in the alternate or chopped mode. That's the reason for two B command inputs. Now, the one in at the base of Q2203 is an override. Now, the signal into the base of Q2209 is high any time that channel B will be displayed. Now, that's true in the alternate mode, in the chop mode, or when we've selected channel B on the horizontal display switch. Now, I said a moment ago that we want the input there at pin 7 to appear only when we're in the alternate and chop mode. So that's the reason for the override in at the base of Q2203. Now, when we're in the chop mode or in the alternate mode, and channel B is to be displayed, we have a high in at the base of Q2209. That turns on that transistor, which turns off Q2205. Its collector goes up to 5 volts. That high in at pin 14, at the same time that pin 4 is low, passes the input at pin 2 and pin 7. Now, that's the way we want it to work in the chopped or alternate mode. But if we've selected B time base, we don't want to pass the vertical trace separation that comes in at pin 7. So under that condition, we'll get a high in at the base of Q2203. That transistor saturates, its collector comes down to ground, placing a low in at pin 14 of the IC, and overrides the high we had there a moment ago, and we do not pass the input there at pin 7. Now let's look at the bottom IC again. Now the inputs at pins 2, 15, 7, and 10 are bases of transistors, and the emitters are down below. Now pin 1 is the emitter for pin 2 base. Pin 16 ties with pin 15. Pin 8 is the emitter for the base at pin 7. Pin 9 goes with pin 10. Notice the emitter tails to a minus 15 volts. Notice the 100 ohm resistors are 2231 in between the emitters, which are the gain elements. And then high frequency peaking in the form of R2230, C2231, and so on, and the network down below. Now, those tweaks allow one to match the transient response of the left and right vertical channels so that in the added mode, we have a good common mode rejection. Now, the additional high-frequency peaking compensates for high-frequency losses within the IC. Pin 11 is the emitter return for the switching transistors whose inputs are pins 4, 14, and 6. Notice, by the way, that the vertical horizontal inhibit goes to pin 6 on both of the ICs. After all, we want to turn off the trace separation as well as the vertical information when we write a character. Now, the character data will be inserted over on the main vertical amplifier. Now, the outputs, quite obviously, are from pins 12 and 13, and as you can see, the trace separation information and the vertical information is summed into the emitters of the grounded base push-pull stage Q2241 and Q2242. Now, those outputs from the ICs are collectors of transistors within the IC, so R2223 and R2225 and R2222, there are collector load resistors for those transistors within the ICs, as well as the emitter load for the grounded base stage down below. Notice the centering adjustment, which allows one to balance the levels as they go into the delay line. Now, there's no attempt to terminate the output from the ICs in 50 ohms. Those 27 ohm resistors and the 68 ohm resistors up above are there to damp any ringing that may occur as a result of lead inductance. CR2244, temperature compensates Q2241 and Q2242 and sets the base level appropriately. Now, the collector load for that grounded base stage would be, well, let's take the top side there, R2253. In parallel with R2255, in parallel with half the gain adjustment NR2243. LR2245 provides some peaking. Now, the output is merely an emitter follower. And the 48.7 ohm resistors in series with the little RE of those emitters provide the 50 ohm reverse termination for the delay line. The delay line, in turn, is terminated at the other end in 50 ohms. And the signal value, as I said earlier, is 25 millivolts per division per side. Now, it's important that the delay line be reverse terminated in 50 ohms at all frequencies, and the output from the emitters of Q2255 and Q2263 tend to become inductive at higher frequencies, so we compensate for that by the RC networks R and C 2279, R and C 2277. Maintaining the reverse termination for the delay line constant at all frequencies. T2279 is just a toroid transformer to suppress common mode information. In general, that's to keep information from the output of the vertical amplifier from feeding back into the input here and causing the whole thing to oscillate. Well, let's turn now to the vertical amplifier, pull out schematic 12. Now, the entire amplifier is in one IC package. Actually, it's an integrated circuit with the output transistors as discrete elements, all of which are housed in a small container about the size of a quarter. Now, the deflection sensitivity at the CRT is 3 volts per division, peak to peak, plus or minus 10%. Center screen voltage, about 35 volts. To the left, the input is the 90 nanosecond delay line, which is terminated in 50 ohms with R4421 and R4441. Input sensitivity is 25 millivolts per division per side, or 50 millivolts per division push-pull. So the amplifier has a gain of 60 in it, 250 megahertz plus. That's quite an accomplishment in one single package. The amplifier IC consists of an input push-pull cascode amplifier stage. Well, that's the first four transistors, followed by another cascode amplifier stage in an FT doubler configuration. And the output stage, which includes the two discrete transistors, is another cascode FT doubler stage. Now, for a discussion of the FT doubler, I refer you to an article in July 71 TechScope, or one by John Addis in the June 5th, 1972 Electronics. Let's look at the input push-pull cascode stage. The emitter returns are through R4436 and R4434, and in addition to that, through push-pull amplifier Q4479 and Q4485. Now, in at the base of Q4485, we have the centering control. Those two transistors become a paraphase amplifier for that information driving into the emitters of the cascode stage. Then in at the base of Q4479, amplified by Q4470, is the Y portion of readout information. Now, that includes not only the generation of the character, but the positioning of the character. Q4470 is just a collector-loaded amplifier. CR4473, temperature compensates the base emitter junction of that transistor and sets the emitter level at precisely 0 volts. Now, that information comes from the readout circuit on schematic 10. Now, for the readout information, Q4479 and Q4485 form a paraphase amplifier to drive into the emitters of the cascode stage. Now, in between the emitters as gain-forming elements, we have R4439 in shunt with R4438 and the thermistor RT4438. Now that thermistor decreases in value as the temperature increases to compensate for some losses and gain at high temperatures within the IC. Now the RC time constants, there are three of them there in between the emitters, compensate for losses within the delay line, commonly known as dribble up. Okay, the collector load for the cascode stage is essentially R4411 in parallel with R4403 in parallel with one half of R4407, R4406, and R4405. That comes out to about 24 ohms, I believe. Right across the amplifier is the LC network, L4401, C4401, which is resonant at a frequency above the band pass of the instrument that helps to shape up the leading edge. And R4404 is a damping control for that peaking adjustment. L4411 and L4410 are also high-frequency peaking adjustments. Well, let's look at the next stage. The cross connections there identify that as an FT doubler. And with that configuration, it's very important that the bases all be at exactly the same potential. And you'll notice that the bases for the inner transistors come outside of the IC. They're at pin 3, where it ties into a divider, which also sets the level at the bases of the outer transistors. Now, those resistors are precision resistors to make sure that those bases all set at the same potential. The basis for the output stage is set by a divider within the IC. I guess I should have pointed out earlier that the white areas are outside of the IC, the gray areas within the IC. Now, the collector load for that stage is within the IC and tied to plus 12 volts. Now the output stage has lots of emitter compensation. There are 19 ohm resistors, you'll notice, in between the emitters, but external to that are the 220 ohm resistors, R4450. Now in an FT doubler, any compensation that appears between pins 14 and 15 acts in parallel with any compensation that appears between pins 7 and 8. So you see we have a total of 6 compensation networks. Now the slow time constants are for thermal compensation. It's impractical to place thermal compensation within the IC. You can get the resistors in there, but not the bypass capacitors. So a different method is required. So let's start with those between pins 14 and 15. R4455 and C4455 is a thermal compensation network, as is C4453 and R4453. Now the next one to the right there, R4451 and C4451, is a faster one. And that's to compensate for a little remaining dribble-up problems from the delay line. Now let's drop down to pins 7 and 8. And all three of the networks there are for thermal compensation. Each one staggered a little bit to accomplish what normally could be done with one capacitor and resistor inside of the amplifier. Now, I said a moment ago that with an FT doubler, it's imperative that the base is set at exactly the same potential, and we couldn't design it to be that close with this output amplifier, so pin 10 has a bias adjustment. The output drives into the distributed deflection plates of the CRT, and they in turn are terminated by this thick film resistor pack. consisting of R5012 and the LR network 5010. Now, those resistors are also collector load resistors for the output stage of the amplifier. The return is directly to plus 50 volts. Notice the bases of that output stage are tied and decoupled to plus 15 volts. Now let's go back to that bias adjustment. You notice it ties off to the left there to a line which says 12 volts. Well, that 12 volts is actually the source for the 12 volts which are used other places in the IC. That comes from the 15 volts up above. R4418 and C4417 is merely a decoupling network which drops that down to 12 volts where it's used for the bias adjustment and then also for VCC in the IC. Also in that output stage, the emitter returns down through some 200 ohm resistors directly to ground in through the beamfinder switch.